As many people will be aware, technology in the 21st century makes a huge difference to our lives. And if you're blind or partially sighted, it seems, well, almost on a weekly or monthly basis, things are improving and we're doing lots more with our smart devices. But have you ever thought about going running if you're blind? And is there some technological way that that can be made easier? Well, Simon Wheatcroft is a visually impaired runner himself, and he has been using technology over the years to run independently. Simon, thank you very much for joining us. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you got yourself into running.
Well, I lost my sight to retinitis pigmentosa, and sort of by the age of 17, you know, I'd lost enough to the League of the Blind. Then by the age of 26, 27, I was down to just above light perception. And I started to run thanks to an app called RunKeeper. And what I was doing was I was using the audio cues from RunKeeper for distances to help me navigate and memorize a route.
Have you used RunKeeper sort of out with your local area?
Yep, I use RunKeeper out in my local area. There's a route, there's a sort of 3-mile route I've memorised out at the airport, and that was all thanks to sort of pairing the feeling underfoot with the distance markers on RunKeeper.
It probably sounds a bit odd when people listen to this, sort of someone who is visually impaired using an app to sort of guide themselves. Was there a bit of a confidence barrier to overcome doing that?
Oh, absolutely. It wasn't the case of, you know, I picked up the phone and I went out and I was great at this from day one. You know, it took a long time, efficient enough not to make mistakes, and that was going out anywhere between 4 and 6 times a week, and it took around, I'd say around 2 months until I was proficient. So that's a lot of, you know, time you're going out there and doing it alone. And initially your confidence is quite low, and you know, you stay to a safe environment.
How do the apps then help you run?
Really simple. It's the distance audio cues. So the app would say, you know, you've run 0.3, 0.6, 0.9 miles. And I memorise the different sort of feelings underfoot in terms of the hills, the dips, the curves. And I would know, let's say, that when it triggers 0.6 miles, I need to look out for a dip underfoot and then immediately turn right. So it was just pairing, you know, feeling underfoot with those audio cues. So the app itself wasn't necessarily doing any navigation in terms of making sure I was on the right route or going in the right direction. It was simply just distance markers that I was pairing with feeling.
Why did you take up running?
Constraints and necessity, really. You know, I was going through a transitional period. I was going to university, so typically a student, I was broke. You know, I couldn't afford a treadmill or a gym membership, but I did own a pair of running shoes. And, you know, running is essentially a cheap sport. It's quite accessible, so that's why I chose running.
Now, we have with us Sam and Stephanie from IBM, who have been involved in app creation. Sam, perhaps I could start with yourself first of all. When it comes to creating an app, I mean, what was your brief for this?
This is one of the most interesting problem apps we've sort of done. So what we call the Linux Garage here, we work with customers, and we did what's called a design thinking workshop, where we asked them a series of questions to sort of take them through the problems that he faced, and we use it to try and discover sort of optimal solutions to have the biggest impact. So for Simon, this was to navigate without the use of a guide.
We have also Stephanie from IBM. Tell me a little bit about your input into this then.
I'm the UX designer in the garage. I was more involved in thinking about the design, which was quite of a challenge because usually I design, you know, beautiful looking items, but Simon can't see it. So it was all about sound design suddenly. So I had to think out of the box. And yeah, I had some ideas, like coming up with some dog barking that put him in the right direction because Escort is not coming with him, things like that, yeah.
How do you go about thinking about the audio cues to use and how they're going to help guide someone?
Because I had this idea because of his cute dog with the dog barking, but the developers chose in agreement with him to use beeps because he was worried to hallucinate if there are other sounds than beeps. Sam can tell you more about that.
Yeah, so one of the very unique challenges about this application is that something we found out through the design thinking process from Simon is that this app had to be hallucination proof, which would be a first for any app we've created here in London. So what that meant is that we needed a very simple interface to communicate the directional information to Simon. And so we sort of see the app as a sort of satellite navigation system crossed with parking sensors. So the app will beep if Simon gets too far left of the path and then beep with a different pitch if it goes too far right of the path. And the further Simon deviates from the desired path, the beats increase in frequency. So a super simple interface that conveys a lot of meaning that can direct Simon around.
And how would someone use it then if they wanted to go running somewhere? Are there maps preloaded onto this, or do they have to be kind of created bespoke?
For this week, 100% focused on getting Simon through the Namibia Desert Challenge. So we had the race courses beforehand. There's no Wi-Fi or 3G signal in the desert, so the routes have to be pre-programmed in the app. There's a GPS in the Namibia desert, and most of the world has GPS signal, so we could rely on having GPS signal for Simon.
Simon, what was it like putting your faith in this brand new piece of technology? Because you're taking this out to the desert in Namibia to use.
You know, the way we tested it is to make sure you go wrong and then see if it was able to correct me back onto path. And it worked incredibly well. And the first time I did test it, I thought, you know, wow, this really is a way you can navigate around not only the desert, but perhaps if we can sort of make it user editable actually in a city as well. So then by the time I got to the desert, I was more than comfortable with understanding how to navigate with this app. And yeah, it worked as expected.
So you have the app running on your smart device then. Are you wearing something like bone-conducting headphones or so on? Because I'm assuming you want to hear what's going on around you as well.
Well, in the desert, there's not really anything to listen to. You know,
this is true.
It's relatively quiet. There's not much going on. But if I was to use it in an inner-city environment, then yeah, you know, bone-conducting headphones would work particularly well. But you know, perhaps the next iterative step of this is to move away from beeps and to go to something like haptic feedback. The reason we chose not to use haptical vibrations in the desert was we felt over, you know, a long amount of time, me swelling, a lot of heat, I may lose a bit of sensitivity to vibration. So sound was chosen for the environment, but there's no reason why you couldn't use vibration in a city environment.
Sam, we've heard from Stephanie, you're relatively new at designing something for a visually impaired person. And as a kind of software programmer like yourself, what's it like being involved right at the start? Because when we talk about technology, you know, we sometimes find that perhaps apps or hardware has to kind of be retro sort of fitted to work for someone who's a visual impairment. But building in that accessibility from the very beginning would probably open up to many, many more people.
Yeah, I mean, it's very refreshing to, you know, have Simon in the garage and to be able to understand his needs completely and to, as you say, have a blank slate and design an app from the ground up completely with accessibility in mind. So, you know, for example, as Steph said, the app had no visual aesthetics at all because that's something we just simply didn't need for this.
Stephanie, what was it like when Simon was out there running with this app that you'd been involved in designing?
Well, I was hoping that it comes back in one piece. I think we were all hoping for that, right? It was quite of a challenge. I mean, it was the first time, and this time it was about a human life, right? So it's a bit different than just business requirements and getting more profit out of it or something like that. It was literally, does he find his way and is he coming back?
Simon, what was it like using it in the desert then?
It was a fantastic moment. It was on day one and I was running down a bit of desert that was quite open plain. And then the sort of app navigating me left and then I had to cut right. And it was at that moment I realised that this is the first time this has ever been possible. This is the first time that I can run without a guide. I'm competing. And it's all thanks to this app. And that was really powerful. I felt a fantastic sense of independence and it all felt absolutely worth it.
I can imagine you running through this desert with the smart device and you running independently. From what you're saying there, that overwhelming feeling of freedom, you know, not having to rely on a person to guide you, it must have been quite liberating.
You know, there's been a few moments in my life where I've been fortunate to have that liberating feeling. One of the first times was when I was using RunKeeper to train so well. You know, and you do suddenly get hit with this thing that, you know, I'm actually doing this independently and alone. And, you know, the next time was in the desert where I got that fantastic feeling again. And in the moment, it's incredibly overwhelming. And, yeah, very difficult to deal with because you've got this huge rush of emotions that you've been enabled to do something.
Sam, a successful test in the desert with Simon there. Where do you see the app going? Does it have further potential to develop more?
I think it does. I think we're currently looking at whether we can sort of release this app to a wider audience. So as we said, you know, we've completely focused this app for Simon's personal use. So the route was for Simon, and the audio cues were all around what Simon thought was best. But I think the one thing we'd like to be able to do is for other people to add pre-programmed routes into the app and to use it, both sighted and non-sighted people. You could imagine cyclists, for example, preferring simple audio cues over complex navigation feedback as well.
To Simon, to Sam and to Stephanie, thanks to all of you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.